What a blessing I have tonight to be here in what I feel assuredly is the Church of Jesus Christ. What a prayer was just prayed publicly in our hearing. I appreciate your prayer that God would help us to change and walk after His teachings. That's a sobering thought, brothers and sisters. What Jesus Christ has taught us through His holy word, what we call the Bible, is not just something that we might have to gather dust on a shelf or even to be read from time to time, but, and you all pardon me, but that prayer and that request has struck a nerve with me. But this Bible is likened to a roadmap for our lives. What good is a roadmap if we get it out and look at it and see what it, hear what it tells us, and then just go our own way? I'd have never ended up here at Little Vine. But the map is not just for us to look at and to learn from, but to follow. And the teachings of God's holy word are for us to read or to look at, to study, to understand, and to follow. I will confess to you right now at this particular point in time, I am a failure at following the teachings of this book. Does it alter the course of the world? Maybe. For if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And we have been told we are the salt of the earth. If I fail to look at, study, learn from this book and not follow it, have I hurt or failed myself? Without a doubt. Because this book also tells me, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know what the reverse of that is? If you don't do these things, unhappy are ye. If I fail to look at, read, study, and follow the teachings of this book, have I hurt my Savior, Jesus Christ? I think I have. Because I have failed to do that that He not only desired and wants me to do, but commanded me to do. So I will repeat again what I said kind of at the start of this. I confess to you, I am a failure. But I trust that the God of heaven, through the mercies and love that He has for us, and because of the shed blood of His Son Jesus Christ, and the words that His Son spake upon the cross, and I believe is speaking in our behalf even today. For the Bible teaches us that He is standing on the right hand of the God making intercessions for us. And He's not there saying, "See how good He is." He's saying, "Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does." He does not or has not taken account of all of the hurts that he is causing because of that faith. As I think along these lines, and forgive me, I know you're not supposed to do this unless you're at your home church, Brother Mark. You're never supposed to be led astray or led off from what maybe that you had studied and had on your mind.
Well, I do that here all the time.
You're just at your home church. Those folks have to put up with you because they called you. But I trust this is of the Lord that He has given me or has caused this to strike and touch such a nerve in me today. And I thought of a scripture, and I had the page marked, but not this scripture marked, that is found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. You know, in my own vernacular, and those who heard me out at the table tonight and this afternoon know that I enjoy having a good time with my brothers and sisters in Christ and in nature. And they tell me that every comedian needs a good straight man. And I'd like to, for learning's sake, that's all this is. This is not biblical, but this is for learning's sake. Tell you that I believe that the New Testament teachings with Jesus Christ when He was here in the world as the best old Baptist preacher that ever lived. He was not the first old Baptist preacher. He was the second one. John the Baptist was older than he was, and he was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the ways of the Lord." But he was good, but not as good as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus used the Pharisees and the Sadducees of His time as examples in teaching what men, women, boys, and girls were to do while they lived here in this life. As a former educator, and it's good to say former now, as a former educator, I know that one of the best methods of teaching was to not only tell them what something was, but to be sure they knew what it was not. And Jesus used that often as he held the Pharisees up to his disciples, the apostles, and even the multitude, Pharisees even themselves. As he made sure they knew what his word was not. But he was never totally negative because he also told them what his word was. And oftentimes compared the two to make sure that they that heard it understood. You say, but not everybody understood what the Lord said. Yes, that's right. But it was not intended for them to understand. For the apostles one time asked him, why speak you unto them in parables? And he said, for it is given unto you to know, but them not to know. So there are some things in God's holy word. Maybe I should rephrase that. Most things in God's holy word are given to some to know and some others not to know. And I'm thankful that I am sure from the evidence that I have had not only this day since I've been here, but in days past and gone with most of you, that you are those that it is given to know. And you're not those that it's given not to know. If you're one of those that it's not given to know, take a nap. Because there's no way under heaven I'm going to be able to get you to know something that the God of heaven's only begotten Son said it's not for you to know. I'm good, but I'm not that good. But I will assure you that if it is given unto us to know, then let's know it. And let's not only know it, but if we're not doing it, let's change and do it. Why? Because I want to make you happy. You want to rejoice? Do you want to be happy? Or would you rather be sad and ignorant and just stumble around in this life? You know, I think sometimes about the foolish things of man. Even the foolish things of man in what we would call religion. Choose heaven or hell. I've never known anybody dumb enough to choose hell. Have you? I've never known anybody that dumb. We would all choose heaven. But you know, that's not a choice that we've been given. But we have been given a choice to obey or to not obey. You know, my daddy told me that. He says, boy, when you don't do what I tell you, you chose this whipping. Think about it. When we choose not to keep the Word of God, you know, what part of no do we not understand? Or what part of thou shalt do we not understand? I don't find any maybes if you feel like it when you do keep the Sabbath holy. But if you've got a better thing to do that day, just go ahead and make it up some other time. I want you to know, you see, we're not changing to keep His commandments or the Word. And that's my problem. You answer for yourself. That's my problem. I would much rather bend it around to where it fits my time schedule or my way or my desires. But that's not the Lord's. And I appreciated that prayer. May we change. May I change. I'd like to go to the 16th chapter now of Matthew. You thought I wasn't going to get to the Scriptures today. Jesus Christ. Well, I'll read the first verse just to set the setting for you. The first verse of the 16th chapter says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting." Look what they came for. Did you, have you, do we, do I ever come to the Lord tempting? Yeah, I do. I don't know. Brother Bruce said he did too. We oftentimes come to the Lord not with "Thy will be done," not with "We'll do the best we can with Your commandments," but what? "Lord, I want to do it this way. I'd like to do it this way. I think it would be better." You know, have you ever argued with a person who has a PhD in something? I heard, you know, you laugh. This is not funny. When I was at the University of Texas, when I was in graduate school, and I was fixing to have to go before a jury, you know. I used to wonder why they called it jury until I was sat and watched some of it. Boy, I tell you what, those profs came in there, they were like judges. And they didn't want any more to be up toward their level of education. They tried to keep it exclusive. And they would ask you all kinds of questions. They were not me. I found out that was not for me. They asked just one guy something, and he didn't know. It was obvious even to a dummy like me. But, you know, that boy don't know what he did. He don't even understand the question. How's he going to give an answer? And he tried to bluff him. Wrong. Do you ever try to bluff the Lord? Do we ever try to say, "Now, wait a minute, Lord. You know, 2,000 years ago, things were different. You just don't understand. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand society today. It might not have been acceptable then, but you know, it's all right now." Don't try to bluff the Lord. I will assure you, He is the PhD of PhDs. If Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Lord is a PhD of the PhDs. But these Pharisees, along with the Sadducees, they brought help. Did you ever notice that? When you go to the Lord, do you ever take some help along when you're trying to change things? You know, you need some help, right? You don't want to stand alone. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. You know what that's saying? Prove it to me. Prove it to me. How many times did the Pharisees, when the Lord told them something, they said, "Well, give me a sign." Who do you know? That's another way of saying, if I walked up to Brother Mark and I know he's a whole lot smarter than I am, especially in computers and stuff, and I asked him a question, and then I said, "Who do you think you are telling me that?" I know. He has the understanding I do not have. Think about the Lord. And we're going to tempt Him. You ever tempt the Lord? I do. I confess again, I'm a failure. I do. The Sadducees and the Pharisees did. So this was the setting. And after that He had answered and had this discussion with them, He told them, sixth verse, "Then Jesus said unto them," this is speaking to His disciples, and when His disciples were come, all right? Pharisees are not here now, this is disciples, all right? "Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Here's a warning. Take heed. Beware. What are you to beware of? The leaven. They didn't understand. They thought, "Oh, He's getting on us because we didn't bring bread." That's what Scripture says here. The Scripture says here, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread." But I'll tell you what, our Lord, knowing their thoughts and intents, knowing this even when they were far from it. He said what? Which when Jesus perceived, that's a word meaning they didn't say this out loud in front of him. You know, sometimes we think we'll hide it from God. You ever try to hide something from God? You want me to tell you the first failure in hiding somebody from something from God? You want me to tell you who those people were? Adam and Eve. In the garden. They hid themselves because they were naked. And the Lord asked them a question. He knew they were naked before. They just didn't know. He said, who told you? Who told you you were naked? Brethren and sisters, you can't hide anything from God. He perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Did you ever think about that? How little of faith do you really think he was meaning to them? Do you know what he told some on another occasion? If you had the faith of the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed there is, you could say unto this mountain, be removed. Now, if he said they had a little faith, I wonder if he thought they didn't even have as much the size of the mustard seed. I think when he said little there, he meant minute. Can I use that word? A minute amount. O ye of minute faith. O ye of little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Did you ever read a commandment that Jesus gave us and say, let's see if I can make that mean something else. Right? Let's see. When he says, thou shalt not, he means normally thou shalt not, but it's all right on occasion to do it. No, no, no. We need to change, remember? We need to change our ways, our thoughts, our will to His will. Amen. I wish I could change my thoughts to His thoughts, but His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I wish I could change my ways to His ways, but His ways are higher than my ways. His ways are perfection. His thoughts are perfection. But His will, I can do some of that. Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? You know, he'd already taught them this lesson once. They came to him and they said, Lord, it's time to eat. Look at all these people. Send them away. Because we don't have enough. What was the Lord's commandment? You know what? He's telling them here, you forgot that lesson. You not only fed the 5,000, but you gathered up baskets full. Do you know they didn't have baskets full when they started? Brethren and sisters, when I came before you tonight, whatever comes out of the word of this poor mortal boy as a human being wouldn't fill a thimble, much less a basket. But if the Lord blesses us to eat at His table tonight, we'll not only be filled, but you can gather up some baskets full to feed on in the days to come. And if He doesn't, you better go on home. Because there's not much here for you to eat. I'm not talking about that natural food. There's lots of that. I'm talking about spiritual food here. He says, you have forgotten that. Do you not yet understand, neither remember? Then he says, not only did I show you that, but he says, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. You know, the Lord tells us in His holy word and everything, He says, I'm not just going to tell you or give you one example. You're going to find it in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. I want you to know, you just search, folks. He'll tell you in here over and over and over again. He says they forgot that. They forgot that. How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? All of a sudden, their eyes were open. All of a sudden, they began to remember. All of a sudden, they understood that they had not before. Brethren and sisters, sometimes I appreciated the scriptures that were read this afternoon and the preaching that Brother Chris did. You've got to tell me again and again. And you have to show me, and then you have to show me. Now, don't tell me the same thing the same way all the time. If I wasn't smart enough to get it that way the first time, I won't be smart enough to get it the second time. You know, I told teachers, like, say, being in education is one of us, used to tell teachers, when we talk about reteaching, we don't mean say it again louder. All right? That is not reteaching. The Lord does not say it again louder, but He gives us another example. Something that we are not supposed to do, and something that we are supposed to do. Now then, they're beginning to get it. They must be like Larry. They must be a slow learner. But it's coming through now. Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread. You know, when He said over here, I'm going to go back and read it, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He didn't say the leaven of the bread. Oh, did you ever have, and I know all you married men have, did you ever have your wife tell you something and you miss part of it in the middle? You're in trouble. I am. Because you don't know whether she said, do this or don't do this. Or do it this way or do it another way. You see, you missed an important part. They missed an important part. When He said the leaven, they thought, oh, that's leavened bread. See, they put the bread in. Now, I want to make that as a point here. All right? Folks, we can't add to the word of the book. I mean, if you change a word, and I appreciate those that think that they have improved upon this translation. But I hate to tell them they have not. Because they have put in words, changed words, and left out words that the Lord didn't put in or leave out. And I'm not dumb enough to say if English was good enough for the Lord, it's good enough for me. That's not so. We know this book was not written in English. And I don't want to get into that, but I'll tell you what. The way we got this translation, if you show me another translation done like that, then I might consider accepting it. Because these folks were under what? Death. You tell me, boy, you change something, you add something, you take something away. You don't get it exactly right, and I'm going to kill you. I work hard at being accurate in my translation. And besides that, there was 49 of them. There were 7 groups of 7. And they all had to agree. You know, I can't get my wife to agree with me. Can you imagine getting 48 others? Had to agree. Do you know why in the King James Version there's some in parentheses? They had to expound upon it because there was no direct translation into the English language. So it was expounded upon because they didn't want to be put to death. These people put the word bread in their mind in there when the Lord said leaven. Brethren and sisters, do we ever add words to this book for our own good? I confess I do. Do we ever leave out words of this book for our own good? Let me give you, I used to call it my pet text, but I've got so many of them now I can't even count them all. The older I get, the more they all sound good to me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, I used to quote that thing a little bit different. Let your light shine. Oh, my light's always shining. My battery never runs out. But many times it's not so shining. You know what that little word so in there does? It mightifies that shining. It's got to be shining in a certain way.
Amen.
On a certain thing. For a certain reason.
Amen.
You see, just leave that little two-letter word out. So, changes it all. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. We need to make sure we do not add nor delete. The disciples did here. You know, think about it. You might say, yeah, but I wouldn't do that. I'm smarter than those folks. Those people were living and walking. They were not just with an eye of faith or spiritually. They were physically, naturally with our Lord. With Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when I read that He calls the lame to walk, I can picture in my mind somebody who is lame and the Lord is healing them and how they can get up and walk. Those people didn't have to picture nothing. They saw it. They saw it. And you know what? In my mind, I normally picture this guy getting up, taking his bed, or taking his chair or whatever that he was in, and it's in more than one in the Bible in different places, and hobbling off, you know, walks like me. No, you know what the Bible says? In Acts, third chapter of Acts of the Apostles, he was running and leaping and praising God. Brethren and sisters, if you and I want to praise the Lord, you can't do it limping around, all right? You got to be running and jumping. You must. It takes energy. It takes work. It takes compassion to do that. Now then, these disciples, they understood something. You say, oh, my goodness, the light came on. No, the Lord had just taught them, hadn't He? Remember I told you, the best old Baptist preacher that there ever was on this earth, He taught them. And they now understood. Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Do you have a doctrine? Do I have a doctrine? Do other men have a doctrine? You know what doctrine means? Teaching. Things. Things you're to do. Things you're not to do. The doctrine of the Pharisees. Wait a minute. I remember the Apostle Paul asking a question. What advantage hath the Jew? You know who these Pharisees are? They're Jews. They are the elitist. Mark, don't look that way. They are Jews. They are the elitist of the religion of that day and time. That scares me. I'm going to stop. Oh, my goodness, I've already been up there too long. Got to save a little bit of time. I hope that because God has blessed me to have had a place in the Primitive Baptist Church all my adult life. I was a boy when I joined the Primitive Baptist Church. I hope I am not, I hope I have not, I hope I never will become a church elitist. Because I will assure you, I remember this Bible teaching me that whosoever exalteth himself shall he also abase himself. No. The Lord, I mean, the Lord shall do the abasing. My father never gave me a whipping, but what he didn't tell me, he did it because he loved me. I wish he hadn't loved me so much sometimes. But I'll tell you what, if my earthly father was smart enough to chastise me because he loved me, I want you to know the Bible teaches that our heavenly Father chastiseth whom that he loveth. So even in the chastisement of the God of heaven, we should be able to learn and take consolation in knowing that he loves us. But that doesn't mean we say, okay, let him whip me again for doing wrong. We should what? We should change and follow after his teachings. Keep his commandments. Serve one another. For as oft as you do this unto the least of one of the saints, you've done it unto me. You want to do something for the Lord? Do it for one of his saints. You want to serve him? Serve one another. You want to not be pharisaical and elitist because I'm in the church and you ain't got it. Have you ever played kid games? You ever heard kids play games? Nah, you have got this. Let's don't be that way. What should we do? Keep his commandments. Love them. Try to instruct them. But I'll tell you what. If it's not given for them to know, we'll never be able to get it to them. But how many of them out there are there that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? And I fail. I fail. I'd rather go and preach to people that I know and that know me and will have pity upon me and forgive my mistakes, rather than going and attempting to feed a hungry child of God. Do we know those? And you don't have to be a minister. I'm not talking about preaching to them. I'm talking about testifying. You know, all of us are supposed to be ready to testify as to why we believe what we believe. Do we do that in our communities? Do we do that in our homes? I failed many times, I think even with my own children. And with neighbors and friends. The Lord says to let your light so shine that they may see. Not glorify you. One of them ever tried to glorify me. I hope that I remain smart enough to tell them. Do as I say, not as I do. Because I don't do it. But glorify our Father, which is in heaven. May his name be glorified and praised. What was it John the Baptist said? And now I'll say it. I'll quit with this. What was it John the Baptist said? He must increase, and I must decrease. Brothers and sisters, as I've gotten older, I understand I am decreasing in more ways than one now. And I know that it shall continue. And that's right. in the sight of God. That's right. I didn't say I wanted it. I didn't say I'd enjoy it all. But that's right in the sight of God. Come ahead, Brother Billy. God bless you.
May the Lord keep you.